This lesson today is going to be talking a little bit about the contrast between being madly in love with God and that relationship and just doing it. Just doing what we're doing. We must stay focused on our first love, Jesus Christ. Our first love. We can become very distracted by good intentions. Have you ever worked really, really hard to do something for someone and it just meant nothing to them? And you worked so hard at it? And it breaks your heart. Because they're not receiving it. Or, on the other hand, we could work really, really hard at something and we're doing it out of, oh, we just have to do this. And we're not doing it because we really love what we're doing. And so we're going to talk about motivations today. But I want to spend a little bit of time. We're going to be talking about the church in Ephesus. And I learned a little bit about the church in Ephesus studying for this lesson. For instance, I did not know. I don't know why I didn't know. Maybe I just didn't remember. But I didn't know that John the Beloved pastored in that church. And there was another man that worked there in pastoring, but John the Beloved worked there, and it is thought that John wrote a lot of his books there. And it was from Ephesus that John was decreed to be sent to the Isle of Patmos, and I thought, I wonder how close that is. So I turned to the back of my Thompson chain, and they have really good maps in the back, and I was looking for where is Ephesus, and right there, just north of the top part of the Mediterranean Sea on the coastline, and it is sandwiched between two rivers that flow into the Aegean Sea. And right there in the Aegean Sea, south and a little bit west, is a little bitty island of Patmos. And so John the Beloved was sent from Ephesus to Patmos so that he could be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and write this book that we're going to be studying a lot about in this quarter. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and saw God. He saw Jesus Christ, the one that he had laid his head on his breast. And he was John called the Beloved. He was the John that Jesus said, John, this is your mother. Mother Mary, this is your son. That is the John who was pastoring this church. And when you read about this church in this letter that is there, you're going to see a lot of great things. This was a great church. And then we're going to look at the one thing. The one thing. And we don't want to have one thing in our life. If we have that one thing, any one thing, that one thing could keep us from heaven. And we don't want any one thing in our lives. And Ephesus had to have that one thing pointed out to them. So how did the church in Ephesus start? Paul was sent to Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. In verse 1 talks about, and it happened while Apollos, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Now you read on, and these are disciples of John. And they were very dedicated to the following that baptism of repentance and that life of repentance and changing. And Paul asks them, did you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed? We didn't know there was a Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know what took the disciples of John all the way from outside of Jerusalem and there in the land of Israel all the way to Ephesus. But somehow, disciples of John were in Ephesus and they didn't know that the Holy Ghost had been poured out. They didn't know that. And so we find that Paul explained to them that then he wanted to know how they were baptized, and they needed to be rebaptized, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the beginning of the church of Ephesus. And Paul spent time there, and then later on in Acts, he goes back to Ephesus for just a little bit. I think it was, if you really look into the text, he couldn't have been there more than a day the second time that he went to Ephesus. But that church was a very strong church. But if you look at the other side of history of Ephesus, it was a very religious city. It was a port city, and it was famous for the worship of the goddess Diana. And she was very highly revered. And if you spend some time and read a little bit further in Acts chapter 19, it was so prominent there that many, many people made their living making little statues of Diana. But this church took off, and it started affecting the enterprise of many people of the city. Because when people converted into this church, just like when people convert into the church today, their lives change. And people quit buying things. They quit revering the goddess Diana. And that whole city was all about Diana. But something changed when God started moving. And the Holy Ghost was being poured out. And people were changing their lives for good. And they were living for God. And the sorcerers came. And there was a big, after a discussion with Paul, there was a huge bonfire. Have you ever participated in one of those? I didn't have anything that needed to be put into one of those, but I remember it happening one time. There was a young man. He was several years older than I was, but I was a teenager in the church. And this young man who had been very steeped into witchcraft, and he had all kinds of things that was attached to that. He had a jacket, I remember. And he had a lot of cards and a lot of books and a lot of things that were related to his ventures into witchcraft. And he came into the church, and God got a hold of him, and he got full of the Holy Ghost. And I remember one day after church, all of that stuff showed up. And we went out into the gravel parking lot, and it was all piled up, and my dad poured accelerant all over it and threw a match in, and we celebrated all of that going away out of his life. God wants us to let go, and maybe it's not as drastic as a bonfire in the parking lot, but God wants us to let go of that. Because we don't need it anymore when we have him and we're working in his kingdom. So let's turn to our lesson text. Ephesus was a large, important city, seaport city. Lots of people coming and going. lots of worship of Diana, and lots of different influences from all over the world. But the church was a growing, thriving church. And then we see it here in Revelation chapter 2. Let's look at verse 1. Unto the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Isn't it awesome to know that God walks in the church? In the churches? God walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, because he really does know. And thy labor, they were working for the Lord. And thy patience. Does he know my patience? Can we say that to ourselves? Does he know my patience? Does he see my patience, or does he just see the lack thereof? And how canst thou not bear them which are evil? What a statement. This church cannot stand things that are evil. They fight against things that are evil that come at them. And remember, this is an evil city. This is a city steeped in idolatry. And it's also, well, being a port city, all kinds of people and things come in, and it was also a part of the overland silk trail where they came from the east into Ephesus, and they were to be their goods were loaded on ships and shipped wherever they were going to go. And so this was a place steeped in evil, but this church hated evil. They could recognize evil. They knew it when it came at them. How do we know when evil comes at us? How do we know that? How can we recognize it? Through the Spirit. In an addendum here, how do we know that money is not real? Now, I've never been trained in this, but I have heard that good bank tellers, good banks, train their tellers not by showing them all the fakes. They study what real bills look like, feel like. If we know this, we don't need to go out and study all the evil that exists in this world. You'd never learn it all. Because it keeps getting invented, new stuff. We just need to know this. And if it doesn't match this, then it's not good. This is what the Ephesian church concentrated on. They concentrated on what was good. They concentrated on the Holy Ghost within them. They concentrated on the teachings of Paul, on the teachings of their pastor, on the teachings of John the Beloved, who had grown them into this great church. Can you imagine how John felt writing this? Because he had pastored that church. It was his baby. When you put your life into something, you want to hear this first part, but this one thing that we're going to get to, how hard was that to write? Recognize evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. Do they match what's in this book? Tried them. They recognized. Say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Do we recognize a lie? We need to recognize lies. Do you know the difference between a true and a false statement when you write a test? A good test writer, when they write true and false statements, they only change one word. And it's usually a very simple, small word. Satan, the serpent, only changed really one word in that statement to draw Eve in and change the course of mankind. One word. Found them liars. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. What a statement. What a list of things that they were good at. They were working for the Lord in their church. Here it comes, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Well, how did they leave their first love? They hadn't left Jesus, had they? They were working hard in the church. They recognized evil. They knew the word that they had at that time. They knew and understood what it meant to work for God and live for God. So how could Jesus say that they had left their first love? Sometimes what we do it from the wrong motivation. You remember a few weeks ago, I made the statement that we know exactly when to raise our hands. We know exactly when to stand up and sit down. We know exactly when to say, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We've practiced these things. And little ones. You watch the little ones. It doesn't take them very long. They know exactly when to do those things too. And yes, it's awesome because it will lead them into true worship. That's how children learn. They practice. They play at what they see us doing. And they learn the importance of them. But somehow in Ephesus, they had gotten so good at what they were doing, and they were fighting evil, and they were being patient, and they were doing the good work. But Jesus could say they had lost or left your first love. Verse 5 says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Where did you come from? Long before I ever knew this was going to be a lesson, I was trying to put some music on my phone. I was in competition with my daughter, who has hundreds of songs on her. And I couldn't remember, I couldn't didn't really know which ones, but I went back to what I had loved for a really long time. And I went back and I found a song that reminds me exactly of this. Do you remember Andre Crouch, Take Me Back? That was one of the first songs I paid for and put on my phone. And as my husband says to my dad a couple years ago, Dad, please put some music on her phone. She wants to play music when we're driving and she has 7. Actually, I probably had 20-something. So my dad helped me out and he put a whole bunch on there. But we need to go back and remember the wooing of the Holy Ghost and what could easily bring us to tears and the tenderness that we felt in relationship to him. Because we can become a little calloused when we get entrenched. Entrenched in the work of God. Because if I don't do what I do around the church and in the church and for the church and for God for the right reason, Jesus is going to say, the story in the Gospels that says, but Lord, Brother Mike, where is that? Matthew 7. But Lord, I did this. I did that. I didn't know you. I don't know you. Remember from whence thou hast fallen and repent. Lord, take me back there so I can remember. I'm so busy doing what I have learned how to do that I forgot who I was doing it for and why I was doing it. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. And do the first works. Well, what are the first works? The lesson text, studying it, talks about the first works. Now, Paul had a habit in starting a church, and it didn't start that way in Ephesus. But you read Paul starting other churches throughout the region, and when he went into a city, he would go to the synagogue, and he would share about the Lord from the scripture text of the Old Testament, and he would talk to those at the synagogue about what he knew and what he had experienced and draw them in. But from that day forward, it was working with those that were in need. How many times in the Bible does it say that they took care of the widows and the orphans? And maybe that doesn't exactly mean literal widows and orphans, especially today. When you start a home missions church, who is it that comes in the door, the first few people that you win? People that know they need something. People that desperately need something. They know they have to have God because they don't have anything here. Our missionaries all around the world, except for Europe. But in South America and Africa, all of our missionaries say, oh, the people, they receive. Everybody wants what we have. Because why? They don't have anything. They want to know God. They want to know a miracle worker. They want to know someone who can help them. And their life circumstances may not change. But the condition of their heart and how they feel about their circumstances. You see, when we have we have everything we need. You ever try to buy a gift for somebody that has everything? What are you going to buy for somebody like that? A gift card for their favorite store? I don't know. I have a friend in my life who's like that. I don't know what to buy. Look at my husband every year. What are we going to get for Christmas? I don't know. He buys everything he needs. No. But it is the needy that we win. And the more affluent that have most of what they need, they don't really always have the knowledge that they need God as much. But so the first things, go back to the first things, the first works, working with those that desperately need the Lord, that love. And why did you do it? Because you loved them. You were in love with what needed to happen in this city. God had just called you to this city. God had just called you to live for Him and work for Him. And you shared everything out of a love in your heart. After he said, and do the first works or else. How many times have I heard that? Or else. Remember when you were young? Or else. Or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick. Oh, this is serious. None of us want this to happen. None of us want to have our relationship, our position, our place in God taken away from us. Remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Lord, help us never lose the desire to fall on our face before you and say, God, forgive me. Fill me with a love that I need for what I'm doing. Fill me with a love that will keep me doing your work for the right reason. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Again, going back to that evil. They knew what was wrong. They would not abide the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I looked at that a little bit, probably not near enough. But the Nicolaitans, because it's mentioned a couple times in Scripture, and God hated them. So I thought, well, what is it about their doctrine that is so detestable to God? And the little bit of summary that I could come up with, and again, I could probably stand to spend a lot more time at it, but again, what did we just say earlier? We don't need to study every evil We just need to know what the good stuff is so that we can recognize the evil that is around us. But the deeds of the Nicolaitans said that, you know, our bodies are flesh and our bodies, they're flesh and they're not right with God. And so everything that the body does doesn't make any difference. It's all about what's in your heart and your spirit. Now, that's a very short summary of the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They were justifying all kinds of sin because, well, it's our flesh. And it's just our heart that needs to be right with God. Wow. Wow. That is so not this book. That is so not this book. Hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. It matters what we do. It matters what's in our heart, but it also matters what we do. Because our actions will lead our heart and our spirit down a bad path. Every time. Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I don't know how many times I've looked at that phrase and said, Lord, do something to my ears that I can really hear what your Spirit says to me. In the Gospels, it talks about ears and eyes. And I've prayed that many times. God, touch my ears, my spiritual ears, that I can hear what you're saying to the church. I want a communication with you. I want to be able to hear your voice in my life. And no matter what else is going on, I can hear you. And this statement is given to every one of these churches here in Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In that statement, to him that overcometh, are we overcomers today? Just Thursday, Pastor talked to us out of Romans chapter 8. Their last few verses, 5 or 6 verses of Romans chapter 8, talk about all of the things that can have no effect on us. Because we are more than conquerors. We can be. We are victorious in him. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life. The tree of life. That was one of the named trees back there in the garden. It was the one they could eat of anytime they wanted. It was there. Anytime they could eat from the tree of life. But then they ate. And they wanted to know what good and bad was. Does that mean they weren't going to learn what good and bad was? No, because they really would have learned in that relationship with God what good and bad was. But they wanted to learn it their way. And they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what did God have to do? You're out of here. You got to go. And he put an angel with a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life out of great mercy. Because if we could eat of the tree of life in our sinful state, there wouldn't be redemption. We need to be redeemed. We need to be brought back into relationship. And when we overcome, we will again, you see, in the very end of the book, that same tree is still there. And we're going to get to walk right up to it. And that river of life, we have just a taste of it right now. What is the Holy Ghost within us? John said that it's a river flowing out of our innermost being. The prophet said that there was a river coming out. I believe it's Ezekiel, river coming out from below beneath the throne of God. That tree and that river have been all the way through this book. And we will have a time because we are going to overcome and we will be in a place where we can be next to that river. We can eat of that tree and Revelation expands on it. That river and that tree, and there is trees all along that river that are never without fruit. And the leaves bring healing. And that's where we're going. And so in our work that we're doing right now, what are we doing for God? We need to work in the church. We need to do things for the body of Christ. But please, 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 Lord, please help me keep my first love. Let me do what pastor asks me to do, what I find to do in the church, let me do it out of love. Not just because I feel obligated or I'm so used to doing that. That's what I do. What do we do on Sundays? Oh, well, we go to church. We put on better clothes than what we wear every other day. And we fix our hair just so, or we comb it just right. We put those shoes on. And we don't even think about it. That's just what we do. But that isn't out of love. That's just what we do. But God wants us to be madly in love with Him. That first love that would do anything to please the one you love. Do anything. Let's today, as we move into worship, do anything that He wants us to do because we love Him. We love Him. We love Him. Lord bless you. We're a couple minutes early. That's